thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful. Hello and welcome back to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Mead, the parenting podcast which offers reassurance, confidence and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler and your whole family. Before we get things underway, I just wanted to take time to give a big thank you to our podcast sponsors, Little Dish. Thank you so much for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you for supporting me and thank you for hosting it at your own headquarters. For those of you who want a little more advice on the topic of food refusal, this is the episode for you. Now, fussy eating or food refusal is something that can happen in a lot of families. It's hard to get statistics for how many kids go through this because actually everyone has different ideas of what fussy actually is. However, I work with parents every single day who deal with food refusal in some form or another. And I know firsthand that it is very, very normal. The reason or reasons why this happens are numerous. Some of the ideas are that, A, after 1 year of age, children's growth rate actually slows, so they need less food. Number two, between 1 and 3 years of age, something called neophobia actually kicks in, which is essentially where children have a bit of a fear of new food and they're a little bit more wary about what they put in their mouth. This is thought to be a bit of a survival mechanism to help make sure that children stay a little bit alert and are a little bit more cautious about what they're actually eating. Number three, children start to want their own independence, and often eating is something that they find that they can control a little bit more of. These are just some of the reasons. There are many, many more reasons why fussy eating starts and many, many more reasons why food refusal happens. But one of the important things to know is that appetites up and down are completely normal for babies and toddlers. And I'd even go as far as to say, we should expect up and down in our children's appetites. It's really very normal. So if any of you take anything away from this podcast, I do want you to remember that. Also, try to remember two key things as well. Persistence and consistency really do pay off when it comes to helping and reducing food refusal. Trying to be really persistent with how you react and what your approaches are, and being really consistent with that at the same time. Trying to make sure that everybody else around your little ones are trying to deal with it in the same way can really, really be helpful. And sometimes it takes quite a lot of time to nip it in the bud. But the most important thing to remember of all is that as a parent, you are not alone. There are so many parents right now who are going through food refusal, who are struggling, who are not knowing where to turn. So you're not alone. It's completely normal. And also it's something that we should expect will happen with many children. So what I'd like to do now is I'm going to take some time to answer some of your questions when it comes to fussy eating, because there's so many questions that I get in my inbox really frequently, and I want to make sure I can answer some of the really classic ones that I get every single day. Here goes.
Hey Charlotte, my little one ate really well during weaning, but now is refusing all his meals. What do I do?
So it's very, very normal for children to really enjoy weaning and take to the weaning journey, but then actually start to refuse food. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this often happens because actually after about 1 year of age, growth rate starts to slow. And so appetites can take a big dip. Also, this is often the stage where neophobia, a fear of new food or fear of unfamiliar food, can kick in. So for those reasons, it's really normal. And it's actually something we would expect to start to happen. So the main thing I would advise to parents is please try not to worry about it. What I really try and discourage parents from doing is hitting this fussy phase and all of a sudden trying to change lots of things up. So for example, they might change how they feed their little one, what they feed their little one, where they feed their little one, to try and make the fussy eating or the food refusal go away. But actually all this does is can add some confusion to an already perfectly well set up environment that a little one is eating in. So I'd say to you, try not to change up what you're doing. Try keeping on offering similar foods that you were offering before. Keep the mealtime the same, keep the environment the same as much as you can. Quite often these phases are literally just that, little phases that we just want children to get through and get over to the other side. If we take away some of the foods that they have been eating, if we stop offering those foods, if we change the environment up, we can actually make the fussy and the food refusal become a little bit more prolonged. So that is definitely something that I would recommend. The other thing I would say, and I talk about this a lot, is offer plenty of variety. So again, quite often what happens when food refusal kicks in is we end up limiting and limiting and limiting our little one's food intake so that we're just giving them those, you know, very few accepted foods. But actually, if we try and do the opposite and just keep that variety up, keep offering foods that they've eaten before, what we do is we help to ensure that that familiarity stays, that children will still be familiar with and accept more of a wide variety of food. So that when you do hopefully come out the other side of that phase, they're still eating plenty of variety. If we restrict their foods to say 5 or 10 different options or 10 different meals that they're likely to eat, then actually you're going to have a bit more trouble trying to get them to broaden that out a bit later on. So plenty of variety, carry on with everything that you're normally doing. And really importantly, try and take the pressure off those mealtimes. Sometimes what happens is we get to this phase where they start to refuse food, and we actually change up ourselves. We start to be a bit more pressured at those mealtimes. We're stressed or we're anxious around food. And actually, this can have a really knock-on effect as to whether your little one wants to sit there and wants to eat the food. And we know from research that the more pressure you put on, the less willing they actually are to eat the food. So the best answer is to try and sit with them, make those mealtimes light, offer plenty of variety, and just try and keep those mealtimes the same as much as you can.
Hi, Charlotte. My toddler only eats like 2 or 3 different meals, so I feel like I'm just doing the same meals on rotation. Have you got any suggestions? Thank you.
So it's very normal for children to get to a stage where they start to refuse lots of different foods and lots of meals, even ones that were previously accepted. So completely normal, completely expected. What we want to do is keep on offering plenty of variety. So the more variety, let's say, for example, if children are exposed to only 15 foods, well, actually, if they start to reduce the number of those that they will accept, they might end up eating only 10 or maybe 5. Whereas actually, if we keep that really broad and we're always trying to add variety into their diet all the time, by bringing out new foods, even if those foods are ones that they're not likely to accept or try, we're still building plenty of familiarity with that. And on that note, I talk about familiarity with food all the time because we know from research that the more children become familiar with food, the more likely they are to accept it. And if they accept it, the more likely they are to try it and eat it eventually. So that familiarity is key. But you know what? We don't have to only get children to eat it to build that familiarity. They can become familiar by reading books about food, by going to the supermarket and popping it in the trolley, by helping you to prepare food, by serving food, by watching you eat food, or even by doing things like arts and crafts with food. So the more you can keep up that variety by bringing food into children's lives day to day in lots of varied ways, try and make it fun as much as you can as well, because that's more likely that they're going to be engaged with the food and maybe want to try it. And the other thing to add, and I say this all the time, is try not to put pressure on them to eat up those foods. It's really easy to do, and many of us, including myself, do often put pressure on children to say, just give it a try. But actually, the best thing to do is just try and engage them in the food, offer plenty of variety, allow them to see it in front of them, play with it, engage with it in other ways, and just try and take that pressure right down so that the pressure to eat is actually quite minimal. The other thing that you can do is if you're trying something new that you're not sure whether your little one's going to accept, you can offer a really small amount of the new food with something that they already accept and that they'll already readily enjoy. This way, it takes the pressure off. It keeps it low, so it's not overwhelming that we're not expecting them to eat a huge amount, but it still helps to expose them to it. And if you try and do it with pressure-free, so nice and gently, not telling them they have to eat it, after a while, you might see that they're a bit more willing to explore and try that brand new food.
Hi, Charlotte. Our family mealtimes are starting to become really stressful because of food refusal. Do you have any advice on how I can make them more enjoyable? By the way, I love the podcast. Thanks for everything.
So one of the things I love to talk about is trying to make the mealtime environment fun and enjoyable. And the way I see it is if your little one does not want to be at the table, you're going to have a real challenge on your hands when you're trying to actually get them to eat food. If you don't want to be somewhere, you're not going to want to sit there and enjoy a meal. So I try and encourage parents to think about, and this is going to vary from family to family of what actually works, but I try and get parents to think about what can you do to help your little one to want to be at the table. And this really is the key thing, because if we can forget about the food for a minute, and if we can try and think about the environment and what's going on, we can try and encourage children to sit down and actually want to be a part of our mealtime. That is the first step. So if we can get them to want to be there, and this might be by playing a little game before you sit down, this might be by having a really strict routine about what happens before the mealtime so that when we sit down, we all know what's happening. It might be you being a part of that meal. It might be getting them involved by serving. It might be things like a brand new tablecloth or a brand new cup that you've offered them for their mealtime. Or it might be something like just taking down the pressure of that mealtime. Taking a step back and thinking, how can I make this environment more inclusive? How can I make my little one want to be a part of it? It might be soft music in the background, or it might just be taking the pressure off. Sometimes that's all you need to do to make that mealtime a bit more enjoyable. So rather than us thinking, what can we do to get them to eat? We're thinking, what can I do to make this experience of food more enjoyable? And then we forget about them eating and we think about enjoying the time together. Sometimes it might be as much as you sitting with them, you engaging with them, having communication, having a chat, lots of eye contact, and that's all they need to want to be a part of it. So for anyone who's feeling like the mealtimes have become stressful, I urge you to take a bit of a step back, have a look at what's going on and think, how can I make this more of a pleasant environment for me and for my little one?
Hi Charlotte, I can only seem to get my baby to eat vegetables if it's hidden in the food. Is that okay?
So this is very, very common. There are so many parents who do add veg to babies' foods by hiding it a little bit in their food, and that's okay to do. There's also lots of influencers and chefs out there who create really brilliant meals which have hidden veggies in them. However, it's absolutely fine to do this, and it's a really great way of adding extra veg into your little one's meals. However, I have to say that what it isn't good for is helping to familiarize little ones with those foods. So if you're wanting them to accept those foods in the long run and to eat those foods as they are and to eat foods that aren't hidden, it's really important to try and expose babies and toddlers to these foods in their whole form as well. Because what we know from research is that familiarization is what leads to acceptance of those foods. And I know I talk about this all the time, but it's really key. The more they see the food, the more they touch it, the more they see other people eating it, the more they are aware of the color and what it looks like, and maybe even where it comes from, they're more likely to actually accept it in the long term. So yes, please, by all means, do hide veg in things like pancakes or pasta sauces. It's a really great way of adding plenty of extras into that dish. But if you can, at the same time, try and add some of those foods alongside the meal as well, so that your little one is exposed to the food in its whole form. Even if that means you eating it or cooking with it or getting them to buy it from the supermarket or doing some art with it at the same time, it's really important to try and expose them to the veggies in their whole form at the same time.
Hi Charlotte, my question is around snacks. My kids ask for snacks all the time and then they won't eat their main meals. What's your advice on this?
Okay, so another super common question that I probably have in my inbox every single day, and actually one that I struggle with myself. My daughter Ada is a massive snacker. She would snack and graze all day if she could. She has very little appetite. She doesn't really like large meals, so if it were up to her, she would just graze all day long. And I have to say, I really struggle with this. Having a son who doesn't do that and does the exact opposite, he loves his big meals and snacks don't really do much for him. They're really different children. And if you do have someone who's a snacker, I know full well that it can be very, very challenging. I definitely think I've got into habits with my daughter where we're out and about and I use snacks to kind of get through the day or onto the next thing. So it can be quite tricky and I'm very much there with you. However, I know that some things that can really help, for example, is having a really nice routine and structure around their mealtimes. So this doesn't mean that you have to offer food at exactly the same time every day, but what it does mean is that having that structure where you've got something similar to a breakfast, lunch and dinner with maybe a couple of snacks in between can be really helpful. And the reason this can be helpful is because young children like routine. They like to know when things are coming, and this can help them with their appetite and help them to understand their appetite and things like signs of hunger and fullness. And this really only comes from having that nice routine around food. If we do let children graze all day, or if they're constantly tapping into snacks, it actually means they're never really feeling that hunger or fullness, and they're not really able to be so in tune with their own appetite. So having that nice routine and that nice structure in the day can really help. It can also help you too, because it means that you have a reason to be able to say, oh, you're hungry, I understand, not snack time yet, but actually if you wait half an hour, we're going to have lunch. So it gives you an answer that you can always be able to say to them. You can always give them that time and help them to really get on board with that structure. Now, I'm not going to say that kids aren't going to have a meltdown or a tantrum when you say no to the snacks, especially initially, but actually they will get used to it. And children are quite creatures of habit. So once they get used to the fact, actually, no, we only have food at certain times and maybe even at certain places. So maybe that when we do have our snacks or our lunch, we are sitting in a food environment. So at a table or somewhere that we can eat in our house, that can also help too, because it can help to maybe make sure there's minimum distractions and give children a real focus so that they can mindfully eat their dinner, their lunch or their snacks. So that's the main thing I would say, is it's really important to offer that routine. If you do have a little ones who are quite young, sometimes writing the routine up and having a breakfast, a lunch and a dinner with a little clock that actually shows what time snack is, what time lunch is, can be really helpful for a visual point of view. And some children find that really helpful. I know that when my two both went to nursery, they really liked a visual tour, which showed them when I was coming to pick them up. It helps to break the day up. It helps to give children a routine and structure, and it can be really, really helpful with snack time too. I know how easy it is to give in to those snack requests, but actually grazing throughout the day just isn't very helpful. So if you can instill a nice routine and try and be really consistent with sticking to those times of day or when it is time for food.
Oh, hi, Charlotte. I have an 18-month-old who has eaten really well until she got ill, and now they're still off their food. Do you have any advice for that?
So it's very, very normal for children's appetites to be affected by illness. Like I said earlier, children's appetites are actually affected by a huge number of things, and illness is just one of those things. But actually, it can have a really knock-on effect, not just at the period of illness, but afterwards as well. The main thing I would say is that if your little one is really unwell, give them their time to get better. And as soon as they are a bit better, try and really get that routine back into gear. So for example, we don't want to, you know, skip meal times all the time, or we don't want to skip meal times for a long time, because that structure is really important for their day. And that structure is really important for their appetite cues and knowing when to expect food coming. What you might want to do in times of illness is give them a few more of those foods that are a little bit more comforting, that are a little bit more easy, that are a little bit more accepted by them. So it might be things like yogurt or breadsticks. It might be things like toast, or it might be things like smoothies. So it's absolutely fine to tap into that when they are unwell and they're not really got much of an appetite. Trying to get some nutrients in to them via the foods that they're actually likely to eat is absolutely fine. However, again, as with the routine, it's really important to try and gently keep exploring and making sure that you're not only offering those foods. Because as I say all the time, familiarity is what's key. And if we stop some of those foods, especially during the tricky toddler years, being so familiar to little ones, they can end up honing in on just a few foods that they will accept. So it's really important to keep gradually offering more and more foods as their appetite builds over time. We don't want to put pressure on them eating those, absolutely not. But we do want to gently be reintroducing all those foods that are part of their balanced, varied diet that you generally offer. So try and go gently with them. Allow them to eat to appetite when they're not feeling very well, but gradually try and build back those routines and gradually try and build back that variety of food that they had before they were unwell. And don't worry if it takes a lot of time. It can take a few weeks, but if you are concerned at all, make sure you go and check it out with your doctor.
Hi, Charlotte. My two-year-old was offered cake the other day at nursery. That's something we've always been able to avoid at home. And now she's asking for it every day. What should I do?
So a lot of parents come to me with concerns around what their little ones are eating at nursery, what they're being offered at nursery. And the main thing I would say here is if you can, try and communicate with the nursery staff. Try and have a conversation with them about what's going on, what's in the food, what's being offered, what's the environment like, how do mealtimes go? Is there pressure to eat, or are they just left to their own devices? I always find it so important to get a bit more context about what's going on at that nursery. You never know, but that cake might be a cake that actually is made with no added sugar and has plenty of veggies or fruits added into it. So do have a check and just see what's going on. Now, it's really common for children to then come home if they're experiencing a new food or a new routine or a new way of eating and want to kind of try and emulate that a little bit at home. But the main thing I would say, and I say this to parents all the time who maybe don't always have complete control about what children are eating outside of the home, and that is that what matters the most is what your little one is eating day to day, is what you're role modeling at home, is the variety they experience with their when they are with you. That's what really matters. So try not to worry too much about what they're having at nursery on the odd day here and there. Their childcare is always going to change. You know, over the years, they're going to be in different childcare settings. They're going to be at school. They're going to have different exposures, different friends, maybe different babysitters looking after them. And that's likely to change over time. But the one thing that's likely to not change is what you do at home. So that is the experience that really matters. So try not to worry too much about other people feeding your children and being really concerned about what's on offer. Just try and think at home, this is what we do. And just like I said on other questions, stick to that similar routine. So when your little one asks, oh, we're not going to be having cake today, but you might be having it tomorrow at nursery. Or you might say, oh, that's not what's on the menu today for our snack. We're going to be having X and Y instead. So try and hold your grounds, stick with your barriers, keep doing what you do. Don't feel like you need to add cake to the menu just because that's what they're asking for, just because that's what they experience elsewhere. Children quite easily get used to a routine in different environments. So they'll have their routine and their types of foods they eat at nursery, and they'll have their routine and the types of foods that they eat with you at home. And that's okay, because what you're doing at home is really what's going to matter in the long run. Conversely, I often get lots of families come to me saying that their little one eats really well at nursery, but not so well at home. And this is really, really common and really, really understandable if you think about it. At nursery, they have a really strict routine around when they offer food to your little one, so they know when to expect mealtimes. They also tend to avoid distractions by having clear away time before that mealtime starts. They've also often got lots of little role models who are sitting and eating with them. They also often don't offer any alternatives, and also the staff often eat with them but aren't really over them watching them or asking them or putting pressure on them to eat that food. So there's lots of reasons why at nursery children are likely to eat a little bit better. Sometimes it's about taking a step back and having a look at what happens at nursery and seeing if some of those things we can do in our own home, like not putting pressure on, not offering alternatives, having a look at the routine and the environment that's going on, and also being a role model and sitting and eating with your little one too, because that can really help. So what should we do about all of these troubles? How can we help ensure that they become just short phases rather than prolonged food refusal? I'm going to share with you now some of my absolute top tips. Number one, try and be a bit of a fly on the wall at mealtimes. Analyze what's going on. Take a step back. See what you might need to change and tweak. Sometimes it's just small little things that you need to do to help make that environment more pleasant for them. Number two, put yourself in their shoes. What is likely to make them want to come to the table? What kind of things can you change to make them enjoy those mealtimes and feel less stressed or pressured about being a part of them? Number three, practice nonchalance. I love talking about this when it comes to mealtime, trying to keep that idea of actually, that's okay, I don't mind if you eat it or not, which actually sometimes goes against a lot of what we feel. But nonchalance at mealtimes can really make a big difference. Number four, try family style meals. So this means things like family style buffets and having Mediterranean spreads that you all can help yourself to. It allows your little one to have a little bit more autonomy over what they're eating. Number five, avoid offering alternatives. Try and make sure you're not offering alternatives at mealtimes, because it can end up restricting the foods that they will eat in the long run. Number six, avoid changing up what you always did at mealtimes. Carry on doing all those positive things and you'll get back to positive eating. And number seven, try to remember that exposure is really, really key to building familiarity and therefore to encouraging acceptance. So that concludes today's episode on fussy eating. I hope you found it helpful and reassuring. Please don't forget to subscribe to my podcast to get the next episode straight to your phone. And remember to tune in next week when we are joined by a great friend of mine and an amazing expert in her own field. You will not want to miss it. Thank you so much and see you then. Thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful.